The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Loveline. Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, we've seen that man there, Dr. Drew Pinsky. Mike Catherwood, you go crazy.
Showtime!
This is Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
This is Loveline.
Loveline. With Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood.
Yeah. Oh, yes. It is Loveline. With me, Michael D. Catherwood. Dr. Drew, not here tonight. He's in Sierra Leone.
Yes.
Fighting it.
Where's Dr. Drew?
I just said he's in Sierra Leone.
Fighting Ebola.
That's right. With his hands. He's fist fighting Ebola.
I seriously doubt that.
He's with his own breasts.
And with his intellect.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Bruce is here filling in for Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is actually somewhere maybe even more dangerous than Sierra Leone. He's in Florida.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never know what can happen.
Florida or Germany. Florida's weirder.
Lately, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. But I give Germany props because at least they're open about their insanity. That's why F Japan. F Japan, because they try to pretend like they're so respectful and they are just God-fearing, very straight-laced people. But then they have, like, panty vending machines and they pixelate their genitals in porn because they want you
Okay.
They pixelate a vagina, but here's a picture of a girl diarrhea fountain on her face. But make sure you pixelate pubic hair.
I was going to ask why Japan? If they've perverted your porn and
no, we cannot show a penis. That is insane. We must pixelate that. But here's a network primetime television show where a guy chainsaws his leg off.
Well, there's really, you know, there's method to their madness over there.
But my point
they're
is
they're good at copying stuff. Why don't
my point is that at least Germany, they say, look, we're about death metal and poo poo porn. We're nuts. So if you like that, we're here. But they broadcast it. They're open about it.
Right.
Japan says, no, we're very good people. We're respectable. And I believe that the Japanese are fine people, but they're effed. They're crazy. And they should embrace that. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't try to hide that. That's my point.
I think they're way ahead on working on virtual.
Oh, yeah.
Virtual.
And when that happens,
what is going to happen? Artificial intelligence and virtual sex. I think people will not leave their homes.
Yeah.
My business, addiction medicine, will be a $1 billion business.
Well, I joined Tinder today on our daytime, Drew on our daytime show for entertainment purposes and for research purposes. And I had to say, it's very good that I did not have this in 2007.
Yeah.
It's really, seriously, I'm very, very, very happy that I am married, happily married,
yeah,
and fulfilled and have a child, because if I had my hands on this when I was a single man, there'd be no Loveline, there'd be no television career, there'd be no child, there'd be no wife. I would be
awash
in a sea of really attractive women all within a couple miles of me willing to have sex with me.
And secretions.
Yeah, I'd be swimming away in my own spunk.
I was just informed with a friend. A friend informed me of what Tinder was, and I was shocked.
It's vagina GPS.
It's unacceptable.
It is. It's kind of unacceptable. And I get these tweets from people who are like, hey, don't crap on Tinder because I met my wife on Tinder. And I go, listen, that's great, and I'm happy for you, but don't try to pawn it off like you're the rule. You're by far the exception. It's a sex app. It's not a dating app.
Right.
It's a hookup app that occasionally someone like you, you know, they bring that chamois dry for all it's worth.
Well, what's worse, that or the Dolly Madison or whatever it is?
Ashley Madison,
hooking up with somebody else's wife. I mean,
well, because Ashley Madison doesn't bother me as much because Ashley Madison they're just doing exactly what they claim to do.
It's like Germany to Japan. They're upfront with it.
Right.
Whereas
right.
Tinder is like.
And also, well, nothing wrong with Tinder, honestly. It's just don't tweet me or email me saying, oh, you've got it all wrong. Tinder's actually great as a dating app. No, it's not.
Right.
It may work, but it's It's mostly a sex app.
Right. It's like a guy saying, I met my wife. She was a stripper at a strip club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but, don't. So you shouldn't say that it's bad to start dating strippers because right. yeah. I met my wife there. Yes, you are by far the exception, not the rule. That's yeah. all. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. That's a great analogy, Dr. Bruce. Oh. That's why we bring you here. You are the man. Speaking of being awash in fluids, tonight we want to talk about masturbation gone wrong. That is our open forum. And I want to thank our man on Twitter. His name is Dan Yontz. At Dan Yontz says, here is an open forum topic for you. Masturbation gone bad, be it injury or getting caught, stuff like that. So when the most beautiful thing in the world, masturbation, goes wrong, we want to hear about it. Right now, though, we're taking your calls regarding anything you want. Hello, Michael.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Very good.
Good. Long time, first time. So quick question. Basically, me and my friends have planned upcoming this camping trip, and they all want to do acid. Now, they've done it before, and I haven't, but I'm kind of curious and want to try it, but I'm worried it'll have, like, some serious negative kind of side effects afterwards on, like, my mental health.
I doubt it will have serious effects on you, on your mental health. Just doing it once, but
well,
I'm not encouraging you to do acid. I'm just saying that's probably not going
to
happen.
Yeah, just asking for like medical advice because I know I have to. You know, like what I study in school requires a lot of kind of mental preparation and studying and things like that.
Dr. Bruce, break them down.
Okay, so LSD is obviously a hallucinogen, and it the effect it has a lot to do with mindset and the setting you're in. Now, what they've found, the theory that it causes genetic defects incorrect, the theory that it causes insanity is incorrect. However, if somebody has a genetic predisposition to schizophrenia, psychotic disorder, it can accelerate that or flip a switch. And so if you have a family history of psychosis or mental health issues, I would stay away from it, bipolar disorder. And it's a lot different than it was in the 60s. Maybe it was 500 micrograms a hit. Now it's usually closer to 50. So people don't perceive it, the strength of the stuff being less, the trips aren't as profound or as long-lasting. So, but it's, you know, guys wanted to go off on a camping trip. That's, you know, the setting's not good. If you are a little bit anxious to begin with, probably you're not a good candidate to have a good time with it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not really anxious. I'm kind of excited and, you know, excited about it, but I just wanted to make sure I wouldn't, like, go back to school a week later and then realize, like, I can't study for tests.
No, that's not good. Yeah, but see, I will give you a warning, and as the I believe the man in the room that's done a lot of acid, I don't know what happened to Dr. Bruce in 1971 when he was on tour with Kiss, but it really is dependent on your mindset going in. If you're at all hesitant or nervous or reluctant or worried or concerned, probably not a good idea.
And also a bunch of guys all taking it on a camping trip, probably having some alcohol, even less of a good idea.
Well, you definitely will 69 one of them.
Well, guys and girls, so that makes me a little more confident about that one.
Cool, good.
The other thing is what is it cut with? And what amazes me, I know people, it's just like the people I know, they're fastidious about their hygiene and about touching germs, and then they'll have unprotected sex. And people that they'll just rail about vaccines and doctors prescribing medication. What am I taking? But who knows where this stuff was made? I mean, LSD, there's no pharmaceutical companies making pharmaceutical grade acid. Hey, you don't know what it's cut with. Strychnine, MDMA, and all these designer amphetamines. So,
all right. It's a lot of good advice for you, dude. But again, I will say this, it's been a long time since I've said this. So I'll go back on this one. Drugs really, and I include alcohol in this category. You know, a lot of people jump to conclusions that I'm speaking solely of hardcore drugs. Alcohol and cocaine and heroin and things like and meth and ecstasy have damn near destroyed my life. I would never recommend anyone recreationally use these drugs because if you can go your life without it, you should. But if there's any drug that I do feel has some positive value to it, it is the hallucinogens. Like, if there's anything that is good that comes from... I can't sit here and give you anything good that came from my time using cocaine, heroin, methamphetamine, and even ecstasy. I can actually muster up some pretty positive stuff that came from eating some acid and taking some mushrooms.
Right. And my issue is the government's far too restrictive on allowing research with this stuff. MDMA, ecstasy, was used in the 80s in couples therapy, and it was very effective. But
well, that's what it was invented for, right?
Right.
By the Germans. Right.
Well, and then it was used, I think, in the Northeast. I don't know if it was Harvard or Boston University, where they're using, but it was used effectively. Mm-hmm. But you had a pharmaceutically produced product.
It was exactly used mostly on the Boston Celtics in the 80s when they would make love to each other because they're all a bunch of pedophiles and sex offenders. Thank you. Coming from the Laker fan of the room.
Yeah.
Hello, Daniel.
Hello?
Daniel, my brother. You are older than me. Do you still feel the pain? Of the scars that won't heal. Go ahead. What do you want?
That was lovely.
Thank you. Dr. Bruce
Bean. He's going to have PTSD.
Maybe one of the only people listening to the show who understands what that was. Yes, go ahead.
Old?
So my wife, we've been married for about 6 months. We've been known her for about 5 years. And ever since I've known her, she's been very, very self-conscious and, about, one, her looks. And two, just kind of her self-worth in general, as far as, like, it can be, like, intelligence or her looks in general. And I know, like, everyone has that to an extent, but she has it to the point of, like, where she has, like, panic attacks.
Whoa.
And stuff like that.
Well, is she seeing a professional for this?
She has not.
She's not received any type of therapy or any type of treatment for this condition?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
True. Bruce, what do you think?
I didn't hear what he said initially. She's very self-critical or is...
Yeah, like about like her looks and her just intelligence. And she's, you know, beautiful and smart and everything. But I, as hard as I try to tell her, you know, like reinforce her and everything, she just has these like panic attacks almost about like...
Right. So you reinforcing her, it's not going to work. When somebody... So did she have any kind of abusive relationship growing up? It sounds like a self-esteem issue. Many times it comes from... a dysfunctional relationship or an authority figure, parent, someone in her life that put her down or undermined her.
No, nothing like that. No.
Then anxiety disorder, seeing a therapist, I would highly encourage her to do that because you telling her she's beautiful, she's smart, not going to work.
Yeah, you know, when someone has that in their head, especially if it goes to the point of pathology or anything like that, it really is not going to do any good. And I feel bad for you because you're just going to start not only spin your wheels, you might actually do yourself a disservice and she gets... you know, angry at you or bitter at you because it's just like mind numbing to hear you repeat yourself. So, here's the big thing, dude. Don't take the responsibility of something that you absolutely shouldn't have to take the responsibility for. You are not her psychiatrist. You are her boyfriend.
And you see, sometimes what happens is the person starts to lose confidence in the person they're in a relationship with. How could you think I'm something when I don't think I'm anything?
Dr. Bruce, filling in for Dr. Drew, give us a call, 1-800-LOVE. 191 is the number. It's Loveline.
This is Loveline.
Loveline, we'll be right back.
You ready to get kinky?
From the Oscar-winning screenwriter of 12 Years a Slave comes television's most extraordinary new dramatic series. Starting Thursday, March 5th, watch American Crime live at 10, 9 Central on ABC. Then tune into the American Crime podcast hosted by me, Elvis Mitchell. Each week we'll have a candid conversation with show creator John Ridley, plus show talent, character storylines, and more. Go to podcastone.com/American Crime to subscribe now.
Yeah, buddy, it's Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Give us a call. Dr. Bruce is here, man. Dr. Bruce is the man. And if this is true, you're going to jail, buddy.
Mm.
Hello, Brittany.
Hi.
What up, yo?
Hi, I've been listening to you guys since I was literally in seventh grade.
Uh-oh.
Oh, thank you. Well, are you in, like, ninth grade, or are you, like...
No, I'm a junior in college now.
Oh, nice.
Did your parents know? Did your parents know in seventh grade you were listening
to them? Oh, no. No way.
Okay.
Oh, man. So, basically, my issue is I have, in the last 2 years, seemed to have developed this, like, problem where no matter where I am or what time of day it is or what's going on, it's like I have this constant sexual stimulation. And it's, like, really interfering with kind of just normal day-to-day things. And I've gone to the OBGYN for it. I've gone to, like, 3 psychiatrists for it. And they just don't seem to be able to help me with anything. So I didn't know if that was something you guys have heard of before.
Are you on any medication?
I was on Prozac, and that kind of made me feel really not good. And I stopped taking that. And then I went on Celexa. And I felt like it made me almost worse.
Mm.
So I don't really know what to think from that.
Well, I think this is a question. I'm not saying that obviously you should listen to Dr. Bruce, whatever Dr. Bruce has to say. But Dr. Bruce, tell me what you think. This is something that you should constantly be working with your personal psychiatrist. This is you just got to keep going. You got to keep powering through, find something new.
But it is a fascinating state of being. So are these feelings of like, you're having orgasm spontaneously, or were you having sort of thoughts? Were you having thoughts you couldn't get rid of about having sex? Or
no, it's like the actual physical response of like on the verge of having an orgasm. So it's not quite having an orgasm, but it's like these constant contractions that feel like if I were to really just sit and focus on it, it could happen.
Right. And I don't know what your OBGYN told you, or the psychiatrist, but I think in some women it's sort of the far end of normal for some women to have this occur without it being...
Oh, okay.
Well, what did they tell you? I'm just curious.
Oh, well, they told me I was in a pretty... I've had a couple of bad concussions, and they told me they thought it could be like a spinal issue, something's not sitting
Absolutely.
Right.
Spinal!
Absolutely. And there are stimulators now that are being produced where people can stimulate a certain area in the spinal cord and have spontaneous orgasms. So that being the case... You know, whether or not something on an MRI would show soft tissue would delineate an area that's abnormal. But the question is, as long as it's not causing you to act out of control, as long as you're not having any very intrusive thoughts about acting out sexually, or I think it's going to be something you're it's not the worst thing to live with. I mean, people that have loss of sexual stimulation after accidents or sexual function, it's much more traumatic. But
okay. Well, the thing that's so odd about it is that I had a really bad experience in high school where I just decided to completely abstain from any kind of sexual activity at all, and I felt like this
that's the other thing, and I'm sure the psychiatrist, that's the next thing I would have asked. Did you have any traumatic experiences around sex? Were you violated or...
I was not violated, but I had a... It's really dumb. It's not. It really probably shouldn't have freaked me out to the degree that it did. But I come from a pretty strict family, and I got a false positive pregnancy test when I was about 17, and it just really, really scared me because I just thought for sure my parents were gonna like.
Right, you know. But that doesn't sound like it would have a connection to.
Yeah, that's why I don't really know.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So.
And it. Are you in a relationship? Do you have any problems?
Yeah, I've been with the same guy for almost 5 years, so...
How's your relationship with him sexually?
We have not done anything in almost 4 years.
Why? Because of this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Understanding that.
He's not going to put up with that very long.
I know. And he doesn't... I don't know if there's something weird with him or what, but he... Like, it's totally like, you know, I'll let you work through this, like this, you know, but... And
there's
I
nothing,
think
nothing
great.
Weird about that. It sounds like he's a great guy.
No, but
yeah,
I thought you were hypersexual. I'm maybe misunderstanding.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. That's what people think. They're like, oh, well, you must have sex all the time. I'm like, no, I'm terrified of having sex. I just have sexual feelings all the time.
Well, then...
Sounds like something went on when you were younger. It sounds like there was...
Yeah, you weren't raped or anything?
Not that I know of.
Do you have large blocks of your childhood or your past that you don't remember?
No, not. I mean, I don't think so. I had a pretty, like, I moved around a lot, so there could be, but I don't, you know, I just don't really, everybody in my family's great, you know, I just can't imagine
Okay.
Okay, if you're in a relationship for 5 years with somebody and you have that much sexual dysfunction, I'm not sure what the reward for staying in that is. And as far as psychiatrists are great for managing medications, but it sounds like you need a really good therapist that deals with these kind of issues.
I totally concur, Bruce. Hello, Mike. Mike, hello? I'm pretty sure I have the right line. Hello, Mike. Mike in Chicago?
Well, maybe he's a pot smoker. A little cognitive delay.
Try it again. Mike.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
What's happening?
Hey.
How are you? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
quick question.
Yes.
Been with my girl for almost 10 years.
Guilty.
She's been great. She does have a family history of a little bit of mental health. What
mental health is in the past of her? I could have said that better.
Depression.
What type of mental health problems are in her family past?
There's been depression. There's been alcoholism. I know that's not mental health, but there has been a couple counts of suicide that has been in her past as well. She has been in, things have been great with us. We got married a year ago, and she started having extreme behaviors. Where she would kind of fly off the handles out of nowhere, right? So, you know, and I've been very understanding. It sounds insensitive, but I knew what I was getting into, by being with her and marrying her. I love her to death. I know she loved me. She lost her brother to suicide a few years back.
Jeez Louise.
Yes. And just a couple months after we were married, comes out that she... I found out she was cheating on me with women. And then turns out there was one guy involved, too. So there was a very extreme line of, betrayal and infidelity.
Sure.
And you can understand my feelings towards all this. It's been difficult for me. So we went to a therapist, and we've been seeing a therapist. She has a psychiatrist. They put her on some medication. Okay. And
so it sounds like, is there some bipolar disorder going on? Did they tell you what her diagnosis was? It sounds like
there's family history of bipolar, but her, they said it was just a mood disorder.
Okay. Well, so she's okay. Okay, so suicidality and depression and substance abuse are run in families. There's a genetic component. And sometimes these things don't express themselves. Also, with a family like that, it sounds like there was probably a lot of chaotic stuff going on. And you wonder, when she starts sexually acting out, it sounds like there might have been a threesome or some other high-risk sex, impulsivity, if there was any abuse in her childhood. But families like that, where there's substance abuse, depression, suicidal acts, then you have to wonder what the boundaries were like in her life and how chaotic her family was. Family of origin, was it pretty chaotic? Or
actually not. That's what really actually drew me to her, was that we had very similar families where it seemed very down to earth, very structured, nothing too kind of outrageous, is how I can put it, it seems like it's out of nowhere.
It's not out of nowhere, just what you were talking about in terms of the family history. Even if it wasn't a chaotic family of origin, the genetics are there. So what you need to do is you should also be going to therapy or going to meetings if there are substances involved in her case, and going to Al-Anon, something that's a support group. And she needs to stick very religiously to her medication schedule, and she has to have accountability. And the chances for the relationship to work are highly dependent on, I think, you being in therapy and having a lot of support and not being a codependent in that situation. That makes sense.
Good luck, brother. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number to give us a call here. Dr. Bruce is filling in for Dr. Drew, and we are having a hell of a night already.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Bruce is all keyed up. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Go ahead and give us a ring. If you have a question, we're here for you. It's Loveline.
Loveline. We'll be right back. Switch on, press talk button, and you broadcast. No wires needed, yet voices travel back and forth.
Hey, Hey, everybody. I don't know if you've heard, but your favorite website, Chive.com, now has words. And it's come in the form of our shiny new podcast right over at Podcast One. So join us. I'm John Rezig. This is Bob Phillip.
Hi.
Every Thursday for a mix of Chive culture, celebrity interviews, and offbeat current events. You never know who's going to drop by the studio, and you certainly never know what we're going to say to them. So it's the Chive podcast. It's total ear candy. There's no snark involved in this. And you can download it now at PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com.
Yeah, buddy. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Go ahead and give us a call if you have a question. Let's talk to hello Olivia.
Hi.
You're don't sound like an Olivia.
No, I'm not. Hold on. Let me get Olivia for you. She's got a good question.
Okay.
Is this her dad?
No. Gross. Okay. I have a question.
Yeah.
So if a girl can have an orgasm multiple times, is it because of the girl or mostly because of the guy?
What? Depends on the girl and the guy.
Yeah. It's probably because of the girl.
It depends on the girl and the guy, but which one does it depend more on?
The girl. If you can have multiple orgasms, it's you hit the genetic lottery. That's what it'd be. I'm not it's nothing against the guy, but that's life.
Right, but okay. So if a girl can have multiple orgasms, it could be with one guy, and the next guy she can't have multiple orgasms. So it really depends on the chemistry, which is usually the critical part. So somebody that doesn't mean that they won't with the next person. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Right? Does that make sense? So it's not like some switch in someone's brain that's like, okay, when it's switched on. It can vary. Some people will have squirting and will have very extraordinarily vigorous response to sexual stimulation with one partner and not with the other. So it can really be highly dependent on the partner. That's what I meant. It depends on the balance between the two sometimes more so.
Okay.
Because sometimes.
Thank you.
Yeah, right. And it's not a good thing to focus on. You get in a relationship, it's like, well, you had a certain response with one partner and you don't with the other. And then it becomes an anxiety issue between the two people. So.
All right.
It's not a sport.
You're the best.
It's not a recreational sport.
Let's see. Let's talk to Joe. Hello, Joe. What you doing with that gun in your hand?
Hey, what's going on? My name's Joe.
Yep.
I'm ready. Calling about my daughter. She's 28. We lost her mother about 6 years ago to breast cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
Thank you. She's a successful nurse, and she's getting ready to leave me and all her friends and everything she knows to chase a guy to Colorado. I'm just kind of worried about her because she's like a man-eater. She's been in a couple serious relationships for a couple years, but I just kind of worried about her because she just goes through guys like their water, and I'm afraid she's going to get back there and end up getting stuck in a job with a two-year commitment and fall out of love with this guy, and just kind of worried what might happen.
Well, does she have insight into her pattern, or is she oblivious to it and thinks every time it's going to be different?
No, we talk about it. You know, she's like, is there something wrong with me? You know, why can't I find the right guy? This is the right guy for me. This is, you know, why I want to do it. You know, I want to change anyway. She just wants to move on. You know, we've talked about it, and she just, you know, I want to support her, but, you know, if I want to say the right thing, too. You know, I don't want to give her support into something that might lead to, you know, a big downfall or something.
Right. Okay. Is she very risky in how she gets involved with the men? Is it she have a slow, mature way of, you know, advancing the relationship? Do you have concerns about the guys? Does she pick a certain type of guy that you're not comfortable with?
Well, she's had a couple really good guys, and as long as she's happy, I'm happy. And her last one, you know, was an artist, and it lasted about 4 months, and I think they had a real good physical thing going, and he was successful, and you know, he had money, so, you know, they just had a good old time. And then, you know, she just kind of, you know, all of a sudden one day she was done with him. You know, just kind of the pattern, you know what I mean? But
right, so situations like that, basically, loved ones, relatives are not going to be, it's not going to be real helpful for you to be giving the advice. If you can get her to go to a therapist, maybe before she's making a big move like this, you could say, you know what, you've had some patterns of maladaptive relationships. They haven't worked out. Maybe you can talk to somebody before you take a big risk like this, move yourself to a different part of the country and get a job.
Okay. The only problem is she's in the medical field, so she's kind of jaded as far as, you know, like physical feelings. And I tried to get her into therapy when her mom died, and I think that maybe the therapist got a little too close to her problems, and she just kind of shut her down and moved. You know, she's like, I'm not going back. So as far as the therapy goes, is there anything I can maybe how should I play that? Just say, you know what, before you do this, make this big leap of faith, maybe you should just talk to somebody that's, you know,
I think that's
unbiased.
How you do it. Exactly. Okay. How you do it. You just level with her as an adult. Say, you're making a big decision, and it's your decision to make, but I really, as your father, I'd love it if you talk to someone before you do it.
Okay.
Or maybe, you know, if you go to a family therapist and you lost your wife, she lost her mom, maybe if you go first and talk to the therapist about it and see if you could bring her in as, you know, before she leaves, you want to close, you know, close some open-ended issues that you've had in that situation. So maybe that's a way to get her in therapy.
All right, brother. Let's talk to Anna. Hello, Anna.
Hi.
What up?
Hi. I was listening to your caller earlier, one of your callers. He was talking about his wife being cheating on him and her coming from a family with alcoholism and suicide and depression and things like that. And I'm kind of that girl, except without the suicide. My brother is an alcoholic. I suffer from depression and anxiety. My other brother is bipolar, and I was molested as a child. So my question, I guess, is how much could that have changed me from experiencing that as a child to an adult? Like, what impact does that really have on someone?
I would imagine profound.
Yeah.
Bruce?
Intimacy issues, being able to get close, the type people you choose, sometimes having molestation. You know, sex becomes something that is easy with a stranger, so to speak, or high risk situations, and yet with intimacy, it's very difficult. So,
and that's true.
So when you have families that have, you know, mental illness and addictions, there are just many patterns that that show up. I mean, one thing, the daughters of fathers that are alcoholic have a much higher incidence of depression and a higher incidence of addictions, whereas sons of alcoholics, very high incidence of addictions and alcoholism. But things compound themselves. So now you were diagnosed with bipolar, or that was just your brother?
So my brother, who was raped by the same guy.
Right.
He was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Okay.
And then now I've gone to see a therapist, and they say that I have anxiety disorder and then depression as well.
Right.
But I haven't continued with the therapy because I'm not consistent with it, and I don't want to be on the medication.
What medication did they recommend?
I think it was Zoloft, but I couldn't take it.
Okay.
I couldn't commit to it.
Because?
I just don't want to be on medication forever. I want to find a way to deal with what happened to me as a child and my depression in a natural way, if that's possible. If not, and I guess I have to consider medication.
I mean, I was just talking to a patient today. We're talking about the same thing. And what this is, a person getting off of an opiate, prescription opiates, and on Suboxone and getting a lot of depression, anxiety, and didn't want to take an antidepressant. So what I was talking about with her, and what I'd say to you is, as a result of what you experience, sometimes, you know, we don't know exactly the level of neurotransmitters. It's not something we can measure. But having a medication that can allow you to focus and have – you know, not when you're depressed, it's hard to process things and focus. Being on an antidepressant, think of it as being on it for 6 months or a year as an adjunct, something that helps you in therapy to, you know, overcome some of the things that you had happen when you were younger. I would say there's almost a natural aspect to it in terms of your serotonin and some of your other neurotransmitters. They're low or they're abnormal and causing some of the issues you're having because of what happened to you and also your genetics. And it's not something, it doesn't have to be lifelong, but it can certainly help you with getting more done in therapy.
All right. Thank you for the call. Good luck, honey. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's almost time for the open forum. We would like to know Have you ever had a disastrous masturbating experience? Did someone walk in on you? Did you use the wrong lube and burn your wiener hole?
Or did you like it when someone walked in on you?
Potentially. Masturbation gone wrong.
You're going to go to jail, buddy.
That's very true. Who's that? Drunk Dr. Bruce. All right. We want to know on the open forum later tonight here on Loveline.
After the Loveline, the craziest question.
What's the craziest question you've ever gotten on Loveline?
Back with more Loveline in a bit.
Yo, what up, everybody? It's Vinny Guadagnino. You remember me from the Jersey Shore? Well, I've got a new podcast. It's called Get Into It with Vinny G. That's exactly what we're doing. We're getting into it with my celebrity friends, with you guys. We're getting into pop culture. We're going to talk sports, politics, food, comedy, dating, relationships. It's the jack of all trades, master of none podcast, just like me. It's fun, it's silly, and you should definitely get into it. So download Get Into It with Vinny G now at iTunes and at podcastone.com.
That's right, putos. Dr. Bruce is here. It is Loveline. Dr. Bruce filling in for the one and only Dr. Drew. And Dr. Bruce is a great man. Oh. A huge, veiny penis.
Yes.
What?
It's true.
Veiny? It's not veiny.
Yeah, it is. I've seen it. It's almost time for the open forum, by the way. We want to hear about your masturbation sessions gone wrong. Hello, Jenna.
Yes. I have a question. I'm hooked up with a guy that I know, and we used protection, and then one time we didn't, and I noticed he was not circumcised. Is it possible to get a yeast infection if he's not circumcised?
From the schmegma, Bruce?
Well, is it possible? Yeast is everywhere. It has more to do with your vaginal pH and other factors like that. So did you see a bunch of yeasty-like substance there or that concerned you or some other discharge?
No discharge or anything, just like a slight, like maybe odor, but like a lot of itching. And I never had it before until we had the unprotected sex.
Yeah, but I'd be more concerned about, is this a guy that you have been with for a long time or do you have concerns about STDs? Being concerned about yeast, I don't think that's because the guy's not circumcised.
That's what I want to. I'm kind of concerned that it might be an STD, and I don't want to just ignore it, thinking it might be.
So go get checked out.
Okay.
I mean, really, being a doctor and doing emergency medicine. Also,
wait, hold on. Why was that funny?
I mean, it wasn't funny. It was just like, I don't know. It's kind of like a stupid question, but I guess I just want some reassurance, you know?
I'm saying if you want reassurance, go get checked out. What's the downside?
I guess there is no downside.
Yes.
You're so normal because human nature is first you want to question something and then sometimes it takes time for reality to set in, which is I think when Mike asked you that, maybe that's what set in because it's like a hassle to go to the doctor. It's a hassle to get the exam. And it's like, well, it's probably nothing. But then you have this lingering doubt and this concern. And that's, you know, it's good that you had that. But you sound very normal about it. It's sort of the denial part. And you hope it's not there. But it's as simple as going in. You can get a urine test for the, gonorrhea, chlamydia. And, of course, you have to have a, brief pelvic exam. But it's something you really need to do. And do you have a gynecologist or a family practice doc you can see?
I don't, but they do have like Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I can go there.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's probably nothing, but absolutely I would get checked. Are you still with the guy?
No, kind of after that happened, kind of threw me off and I'm just, not seeing him or anything at all.
Okay.
So
okay.
Kind of supposed to hook up. That was about it.
So. All right.
All good.
Go get an, an exam. You'll be fine.
All right, thank you.
No problem. Hello, Danny. Boy, the pipes hello, pipes are calling. Yes.
Short-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, so I just wanted to see if you guys inform me more about DMT and whether if it's safe or not.
Don't know nothing about it. That's new on the scene for me. I've been out of the drug scene for far too long to know anything about DMT.
Okay.
Okay. Whoa. Okay. So DMT is a hallucinogen. I think in the 60s they called it businessman's lunch. It doesn't last that long. And the stuff you smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's anytime you're dealing with a hallucinogen, that tends to be extremely potent. It doesn't last that long. And any hallucinogen, it's like we were talking about with acid before. If you have any family history of any kind of mental health disorder, especially psychoses, bipolar disorder, it's like playing Russian roulette. And hallucinogens, even now, the most recent research on marijuana from the UK, heavy marijuana smokers 5 times more likely to develop schizophrenia, psychotic disorder. So these are very potent drugs. And, you know, why is it just pick DMT out of the air. Where did you get that idea?
I actually took a psych class in college last semester, and our professor said she tried it in a tea, and she said it was like the greatest thing. It changed her life forever.
Right. Well, that's a crock of you-know-what, and college professors that recommend any kind of hallucinogen and changing their life forever, there's no continuity or consistency from one person to the next. So, I know of cases where people have used similar drugs and the psychosis set in. So I would say if there was some evaluation that you could go through before you use that substance, I mean, they're doing research with PTSD, with a severe depression, and using certain hallucinogenic drugs in research. But you know exactly what you're getting. You know the exact dose. The setting is safe, and you're evaluated beforehand. But this is why people don't like college professors a lot of times, because, you know, that's a crock of crap. So DMT.
They're telling us that DMT is made when you're sleeping, when you're born, and when you die.
It is in your system. I mean, it is, a natural substance, but it doesn't mean that it's artificially achieved in the same way.
Well,
cocaine's natural, and heroin's natural.
You take a dump every day. That stuff's being made in your body all day long.
Oh, what?
Yeah, and I don't think you should smoke it or eat it. I don't know what they're talking about. This DMT is not being made in your body all
No,
the time.
But it exists in the human system when, and during certain times. But so does carbon. I mean, it's hard to.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not like an anti-DMT guy. I just don't know crap about it.
I'm an anti-DMT. For this guy to take DMT is insane, and he may become insane. So
he may become insane.
Yeah,
that's true.
And the college, this is like.
Well, I can guarantee you one thing. That wasn't a college professor of any of the sciences. It was like some artsy dude. You know what I'm saying? Like no science teacher would be like, guys. Listen, kids, before we get back to chemistry, I just want to say you got to try DMT. let's see here.
I'm outraged.
You're outraged. Let's see. Let's talk to gender dysphoria person. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello, Dave.
Hello.
Hi.
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 What can we do for you, sir?
So I honestly think I might have gender dysphoria. I'm just not sure on where to get started. I mean,
what is that?
Gender dysphoria. It's the newer term for gender identity disorder, also known as I'm going to go get a sex change.
Okay, so you're not sure if you're the right sex.
Right.
Okay.
Like the word to start is a therapist that specializes in gender dysphoria or. I mean, you have to go to a therapist before they're going to give you the hormones or go through with any kind of procedure, correct? Yes.
I don't know.
We both know. You find a therapist that specializes in this, just as if you have another mental health disorder or an addictive disorder, you find the best person. But especially with gender dysphoria, anything like that, there are people that specialize in that and that work with surgeons and the physicians that will do the chemical alterations and the physical alterations. Okay.
Okay. So, how do I go about finding a specialist like that?
Dr. Google will assist you.
Honestly, there's a lot of people around. There's a lot of professionals that are, if they're not specialists in gender dysphoria or the gender confusion, they're specialists in understanding identity, sexual identity, things like that. So,
Does Drew have a 800 number for that? Or, you know, the gay, lesbian, trans, whatever the some of the hotlines or.
Yeah. But I mean, I will
I don't
Google
know what
right
city
now.
You're in. Yeah. You can Google it now.
Let's see here.
How old are
trans.
You?
24.
Okay. And have you been to any therapy or any talk to a professional about your feelings?
No. Okay. I haven't figured out how to find one yet.
Okay. Well, do you have insurance? Do you have health insurance or mental health?
Oh, yeah. I've got health insurance. I just don't think it's going to cover all of it.
Well, first step, just go to a therapist that's covered, you know, like a marriage family.
Yeah, under your plan. Whatever's under your plan.
Or
get in and talk to someone who's a professional.
And they will know in your area who is the best person to see you or if indeed that is something you should pursue therapy about. There may be
and also,
something else going on.
I'm looking at advocatesforyouth.org. That is it looks like it has a wealth of information and resources for you, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, dude. 1-800-LOVE-191. It is, in fact, time for the open forum. This was brought to us by a listener. Oftentimes, some of the greatest open forums are, Dr. Bruce.
Yes.
This listener's name is Dan Yontz, at Dan Yontz on Twitter. He says, here's an open forum topic for you. Masturbation gone bad.
Is there a free gift he will receive? Or?
I mentioned him. That's the greatest gift ever.
No, like, vibrator kit or...
If he comes over, I'll give him a handjob.
Is that like a fleshlight?
No, like I'll jerk him off with my hand.
Oh, okay.
I'll do it to you too if you like.
Well, no, I can't in front of my
your lady friend's here. Yeah. You won't mind, will you, Tara?
She likes to watch.
Inverted cuckold. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. All right, call us up with your open forum ideas and experience. Masturbation gone bad. Either someone walked in on you or you used the wrong lube or you went too aggressively and you hurt yourself. There's myriad ways in which masturbation can go wrong. Call us up with your stories. This is Loveline.
It's time for you to give us your opinions and insight. Here's tonight's Open Forum.
Yeah, it is time for the Open Forum. Let's get it on. Masturbation gone wrong. Let's get right to my man, Kevin, because he's a man I can relate to. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Dr. Bruce. Hey, Mike. How you guys doing tonight?
Doing good. Great. How are you?
Good.
Good. Well, my story is one time, a couple years ago, I got really high on meth, and I jerked it for about 8 hours. 10 hours. I don't know. I was higher than a kite.
That's fantastic.
And, I rubbed it so long and so hard. I started with lube. Ended up completely dry. And
language.
Okay. My. What's okay to say?
Penis. How about that?
Penis. Okay. Yeah. There. My penis. Was covered in blisters and got all stabbed and hurt for like 2 weeks to touch. I couldn't even do anything with it.
That's fantastic. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Stimulants will do that to you.
Yes, and of more concern than his tool becoming damaged by his hand is people that have high-risk sex under the influence of stimulants. And particularly in the gay community, one of the reasons for the spread of HIV stimulants, there's total lack of consideration for risk in having sex when someone's on a stimulant. So
yeah. There you go. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Yeah, the party and play scene can get rough. You know, it's no good. Listen, but all kidding aside, it makes for a great drug to aid in sex.
Well,
because you go all night and you get very horny, but it's very dangerous. It's very, very dangerous because you kind of lose your inhibitions to the point that it becomes like just this pit of danger, you know?
Right. And then eventually meth does, you know, can I say the D-I-C-K word?
Yes.
There's meth dick because your circulation becomes.
I knew him. He was a rough guy to be around.
Flaccid. He was a wet noodle.
Yeah.
So it's hard to either achieve an erection or maintain it once you've been using meth for a period of time. So,
hello, Mike in Fresno.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. So my masturbation mishap, I work at an ice rink, right? And I work morning cleaning shifts usually.
Nice.
And I also play ice hockey at that same rink.
Nice.
So how my schedule is set up, I get off at 2 and my practice would start at 4. So I'd have 2 hours or so to kill. Usually I would pull my car around the back of the building, find a shady spot, take myself a little nap. On this particular day, I couldn't get to sleep for whatever reason, so I figured, hey, I got this sweet iPhone with internet capability, so I'll flick one out real quick, and then I'll fall right asleep after that.
Great call.
So I started going. Our maintenance guy happens to come around back that day, happens to come up to my car, see what I'm up to, knocks on the window, peeks in, sees me mid-act, dong in hand. And I got the deer in the headlights look and everything. He starts dying laughing. goes and tells everyone I work with I'm just the laughing stock of the entire place for weeks.
Oh, dude. that is a story gone wrong. I feel bad. But
did it affect your interest
worth it
in pleasuring yourself for a period of time, or was it just
no? Not at all. I'm 21 in the prime. I'm swinging, man. Not at all.
Have you shared that with any partners, any women that you've use that as a great story to achieve?
You know, I did. I started dating a chick soon after that. It happened to come up, and she thought it hilarious.
You're a healthy guy.
I try.
There you go.
You're a great man. You're a great American. Let's see here. Masturbation stories. We want to hear your masturbation gone wrong stories on this open forum. Hello, Mary. Oh, she hung up. This is our first female. Marie, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
We're great. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Well, my story was I was just discovering myself. I was 14 years old,
yeah.
And I had a little bit of an 80s movie fetish.
Ooh.
Especially one that involved Anthony Michael Hall or James Spader.
Yeah, James Spader, of course.
So, like, still to this day, like, whenever anyone mentions any movie that any of those guys are in, I literally start to have to go at it. Anyways, so I was watching, I was at home after school, and I was watching Sex Lies and Videotape, and I was going at it and getting there, and I didn't know that my mom had come home.
There it is.
She came in the door, never looked at me the same. And I still think to this day that she thinks I'm going to go to hell.
Probably. But what did your mom, did she say anything to you, or did she just, like, you just knew she saw you?
She saw me, and, like, you know, she wouldn't make eye contact for the longest time.
No, but I mean, like, you definitely, like.
Oh, yeah, she opens the door.
Oh.
Right, but it could have been worse. Now, you weren't watching porn, correct?
No. Sex Lives and Videotape.
Yeah, so.
Might as well have been at that time.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to single out a religion, but are you guys Catholic?
Yeah, how'd you guess?
Well, you know, the guilt and the mom.
Mike, I just wanted to tell you quickly that you are my boyfriend's hero.
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Because
Mike?
You... Mike.
Yes.
What about
me? You are my boyfriend's hero because... you played a Top Gun loop.
Yes.
Ooh. A little while ago. And, oh my gosh, I had to wake up my boyfriend, and I mounted him.
There it is.
And he was like, oh my God, I love Love Line. I love it so much.
All right. Well, listen.
Well, if you
anything that we can do to help you mount your boyfriend.
Yeah, and if pregnancy results, name him Mike. Psycho Mike.
No, don't do that. Name him.
Will do.
For me, name him Bruce.
Okay, thanks.
Veiny Dong Bruce. Thank you. Dr. Bruce is here, filling in for Dr. Drew, and we're talking about masturbation gone wrong. Such a beautiful thing to go wrong. Hello, Brandon.
How's it going, guys? Long-time listener.
Thanks, buddy.
So my masturbation mishap was with a homemade fleshlight, pretty much.
Oh, homemade. What did you use to make a homemade fleshlight?
Sandpaper.
You pretty much take a condom and you fill it with lube and you put it in a towel, wrap the towel around,
and you can use your imagination from there.
Yeah. You don't really have to use your imagination. You described it quite detailed okay. fashion. Go ahead. So you create this homemade, you create a Fifi. They call it in jail a Fifi, also sure. known as a trucker's friend.
Mm. Okay. So I'm going ahead with it and everything. Everything's going good. And then I guess the condom ripped in it or whatever to where I didn't feel it at all at the time. But after, there was a bunch of friction and scabbing and everything later on from it. So that was fun. Couldn't feel anything good for a good week or two.
Dude, I'm sorry.
It's all good, man.
oh, this is bad. Masturbation gone wrong. That is our open forum. Hello, Chris.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What up, buddy?
So I was about 13 or 14, and my grandma was visiting, so she was staying at my house. And it was late at night. I was in my room, and I couldn't even say it was like Skinamax I was watching. It was something that wouldn't even at all been mistaken for porn because I was so young and it didn't really take much.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there. I have my back to the door. And the lights were out, and my grandma walked into my room, and I kind of, like, just knee-jerk reaction, hunched over to kind of cover my junk up, and she was completely oblivious to what was going on. I don't know if she's senile or not, but she proceeded to have a conversation with me while I was sitting there with my junk in my hand, and lasted a couple minutes, and I just had to sit in this awkward pose, hunched over in the dark while my grandma proceeded to ask me questions.
Oh.
And, yeah, so that was pretty interesting. And to this day, I don't know if she ignored it and tried to make it not awkward, but then again, I would imagine she would probably just kind of leave immediately, but, yeah. That's
how old were you at the time?
I was 13 or 14.
So did this have a profound effect on your future self-stimulation, or?
Wait, no. Hold on. I got to know. Did you finish? Did you end up finishing after your grandma went to sleep?
No, actually, I don't remember. I hope for my sake I didn't, but no, it hasn't had, any effect on my future sex life.
Okay.
Great yeah. story.
Your grandma's a great woman, too. You should have banged your grandma.
Oh.
What?
I was going to ask if she was hot.
Yeah.
Inappropriate.
Oh, this is a problem that happens probably far too often. Hello, Colton.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, man.
Thank you for calling Loveline. We're talking about masturbation gone wrong.
Yeah, so when I was probably, I'd say, about 14, 15, I decided maybe I should just kind of, you know, I was just learning, you know, all the funs of masturbation and stuff, and I decided to get all the different kinds of lotions and lubes that I could find around the house, and one of them happened to be hand sanitizer.
Mm.
And needless to say, I poured it in my hand and started going, and it just burnt like living hell.
Mm. Well, and did you have any residual, like, blisters or any lesions you could describe graphically to us so Mike can gross Mike
nothing
up?
Nothing quite like that, just a lot of rawness going on.
It's really, like, because it's a viscous, lubey substance, people might do it. But that's disaster.
Yeah. It's yeah. I mean, you may as well take vodka and put a little bit of...
if you do, it's true. It's going to jail, buddy. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Go ahead and give us a call if you've ever had a masturbation disaster. If you've ever masturbated and it went wrong for whatever reason. Someone walked in on you. You used the wrong type of lube and it burned. You had a homemade fleshlight, a.k.a. a Fifi.
Yeah.
And it wasn't constructed well. Bad engineering.
Or the something about Mary. Maybe the products. The products landed.
The end result goes in the wrong place
on your shoe, and you walked in.
Sure,
you know, whatever. And your hand shook hands with somebody.
Thank you for reminding me. I have an excellent story. I will lead us off next here on Loveline.
Loveline. We'll be right back. Switch on, press talk button, and you broadcast. No wires needed. Yet voices travel back and forth.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Yeah, Mike.
I pretty much, I never bought anything online in my life until I met my wife.
Oh,
and,
seriously?
Now all I do is go to Amazon.
I buy pretty much everything Amazon. And if you want to support somebody that has an affiliate relationship with Amazon, you go to their website, you click through the Amazon banner, and at zero cost to you, Amazon shares some of the purchase price with the affiliate.
Why are you being so nice about it and saying somebody with an affiliate relationship?
You're right, Mike. I should be more specific. Forget an affiliate, some vague affiliate. Let's go to Podcast One, where you can find the Loveline podcast, the Loveline page. Bookmark that page and just click through on the Amazon banner located at the top of the homepage. You can even use the Amazon banner if you're in Canada or the UK. It makes it easy for all future purchases. Again, it is podcastone.com. Click on the Keep It Free banner to support Amazon and all the wonderful sponsors that make the show possible.
LOVE191 is the number. Go ahead and give us a call. This is Loveline. We're in the middle of the open forum, and we're talking about masturbation gone wrong. Hello, Andrew.
Mike, Dr. Spaz.
You're an Adam Carolla fan.
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So as soon as this open forum came on, my girlfriend told me the story, and I immediately picked up my phone and had to tell you guys.
Okay.
So she was in high school, first time masturbating, and she had the phone at the end of her bed, and she was getting into it. And right before she climaxed, she heard her dad's voice, and she accidentally called her dad on the phone with her foot.
Oh, and no.
Yeah.
Oh, so she accidentally dialed her father and then started playing with her vagina.
Exactly.
There could be repercussions to this. Was she scarred?
Well, no, was he scarred? A better question.
Yeah, exactly.
Did he know? I mean, seriously, did he know what was going on? Did he realize this was
self-abuse? He didn't know what was going on, but I'm sure it ruined the climax for her.
Oh, that's horrific. Did she have any kind of residual, like nightmares or embarrassment at seeing her dad the next few days? Or
she just felt awkward.
Yeah,
but nothing major.
Wow. Well, it sounds like you guys have moved past, or she's moved past that, and it sounds like, I mean, you guys have a good sex life. Everything's okay. Cause any?
Oh, fabulous sex life.
You got This guy's got a good radio voice. Doesn't
sure
he?
Does. Yeah. He has a great sex voice. Let's talk to Tim. Hello, Tim. How's Eric?
Hey, what's up?
What's happening?
Once I heard your topic on the radio driving home, I knew I just had to call.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I was like about 13, in junior high school. Anyway, I'm a lube guy, and there was one time I had the urge to, spank it, and the only lube that was available was some self-tan lotion.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so not only was my penis brown, it turned my hand brown for about a good week.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, needless to say, I didn't suit up for pee that entire time.
Yeah.
What? There's some very irritating chemicals, so I think you should write a manual on maybe first time.
No, there's no way to learn those lessons. Every guy's going to do it where he's like in the shower and he's got the shampoo in his hands and he's like, this seems good. And then until it's too late, and then you have the inside of your urethra is on fire.
Yeah, like the guy that chooses T-gel or, some
T-gel.
Some medicated shampoo.
Yeah, right now there's some guy using like DHT cream because he thinks it'll make his dork bigger or something. I was speaking of the guy who used self-tanner. I have a masturbation gone wrong story. This one's actually pretty awesome. I was living in New Jersey at the time. This is probably 99-ish. And I grew up here in Southern California. I had no need to ever – I never even contemplated using tanning lotion or a self tanning bed, like anything like that. I'd go outside and get. But this was my first debilitating winter living away somewhere where they have debilitating winters. And after about like 3 months of not seeing the sun, the locals are like, "Hey, you should go to the tanning salon. It's the best." And I was like, all right, I'm down with that. Like, give it a shot. So I go to this tanning salon, and the young lady behind the counter is very helpful because I tell her I've never been here before. I don't know how it works. So she sets me up in this tube, and it's a stand-up tube. And it looks like a coffin, but standing on its end. You know, it's like stand upright. So she says, just get in, get naked, and press this button here, this blue button, and then the lights will turn on. Just don't open your eyes. Make sure you keep your eyes closed and stay in there for 12 minutes, and that's that. So she's like, but just, you know, you'll be fine. It's just under no circumstances open your eyes. So it's dark when I get in, and I press the buttons, and I'm, like, really scared to open my eyes because I don't want to, like, I don't want to burn my eyes out. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking is going to happen. So I I turn on the thing, the lamps turn on, and I keep my eyes closed, and it's really loud. And like 3 minutes go by, and I think to myself, "Hey, I'm naked, and I'm gotta be here for a while.
May as well
beat off.
Use of it." Yeah.
So I start to beat off, and because I have never opened my eyes and don't want to, I don't realize that in order for me not to overheat, they have these like fans at the bottom that shoot upwards to keep me cool, like a very high powered fan.
Right.
So I blow my load, and sure enough, this fan pushes it right into my face and mouth, like just all over it. And I freak like an animal, like a cage animal.
And she runs in.
Yeah. Are you okay in there? Are you okay? I'm like, oh, I'm fine. And it took my t-shirt and I was wiping my tongue down, wiped off my face. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's my story. Hello, Isabel.
Hi.
Hi, baby.
So here's my story.
Yes.
I was in my room. I was a few years back, and I was just laying down. I got out of the shower, feeling good, and so I started to do my thing. And well, it was like 2-3 hours into it. I was already frustrated. I was trying to find a good porn video to watch, and I couldn't find one. And I finally found one. I was finally getting to that good part, and my brother walks in, and he's just like, "Hi, Izzy, how are you?" And my hand's down there. I'm sweating. It's awkward. He comes. He lays down next to me. I have to change my phone fast.
Oh, sick. So gross. Why couldn't you just say, like, I need to be alone right now?
Because that would make it obvious.
Well, how old were you and how old was he?
I was about 16. He was about 19.
Oh, okay. So he had no idea what was going on.
I have no idea.
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know. And so I had to pretend I was like on my phone, and my voice started cracking, and I was just like, you want to see something?
Okay. I've had enough of that.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Let's see here.
Next.
This is the best thing ever. Hello, Johnny.
Yes, hello, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You have a fantastic call. It's our pleasure.
Yeah, so, yeah, anyhow, let's get started. When I first started, you know, masturbation and learning everything about it in the summer between 6th grade and 7th grade, and, I mean, I was trying everything all the way up to, you know, banana peels, Gatorade bottles.
Yeah.
You know, you name it, you know.
Of course.
So, anyway, you know, I'm going into middle school this next year, and I'm getting some school supplies.
Uh-oh.
And for the first time in my life, you know, I'm going into a place where I'm going to have lockers. So anyway, I was really open with my masturbation. And I end up going in the back seat of my mother's Chevy Caprice that was kind of parked on the side of the street. And I was sitting in the back seat, and I felt this master lock in my pocket. So I pull it out, and I, you know, go flaccid, snap it around, lock it, and I start masturbating.
Oh.
Well, at that time, it was the first time I ever felt, you know, that real tightness and this increasing sensation. I just learned about this a month prior, you know. And so it gets to the point where it's time for orgasm. I'm going out like, oh, man. So eventually, you know, it's the first time I experienced great pleasure and great pain at the same time. So I'm not only I just got this school supply lock like a week before. I've been practicing the combination, trying to remember, you know, which left, right. So eventually I'm going through, man, and it's not opening. The sticker's still on the bottom. I'm trying to look on the bottom of the combination. I eventually forget it. I close it tight, and I'm telling you, that lock popped off so fast.
Oh.
I lost involuntary motion in my body. It was all the way up to the ceiling. You know, you can imagine, but man, that was a.
So did you? The question is, did you do it again?
I tried, but I tried other techniques. You know, other things for you know clamping down on the bottom of the shaft to prolong the orgasm before ejaculation. And so, but I was very, very cautious. That was a crazy experience. And thank you for taking my call and letting me share it. I really appreciate it.
I'm so happy you did. You got your penis stuck in a lock.
I'm surprised you haven't heard any trauma. I mean, because, you know, people do injure their organs, their tools.
There is some, but it's not brutal enough. Like, these stories are better to me. Hello, Mike.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's happening?
Well, I got a masturbation story on a on a holiday level.
Okay.
Well, I was up in my room getting ready for holiday dinner.
Uh-huh.
And my stepdad's like, I'll come and get you when I'm done. You know, when everybody's ready to eat. I was about 13 or 14. And I'm like, okay, so I'm gonna bang one out before I go downstairs.
Attaboy.
So so I grab one of my socks because I heard my stepdad coming to come and tell me, and I just let go into my sock and put it in my drawer thinking I was cool.
Uh-huh.
So I come downstairs and my cousin goes upstairs without me knowing because I guess he was outside, you know, messing around and got his shoes dirty and socks wet. So he grabs a pair and comes downstairs. And while everybody's sitting down, he decides to change his sock in the next room, like in the family room.
Right.
And pulls his socks off and puts my sock on and just covers his foot in it and screams.
It's your cousin in front of you put on your jizz sock.
Yeah, actually in front of my whole family at holiday dinner, and then my stepdad screams out, "You ruined dinner," or "You ruined Christmas."
I'm so happy right now. God, you've made me so happy.
Okay. So everybody knew what the material was on his foot, I would assume.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, it was all over, and when he pulled it off, it was, like, just everywhere.
Did anyone laugh? Or was it like
my sister fell off? You know, basically fell off the chair laughing, and my brother-in-law, now my brother-in-law, he was a friend at the time. He just never lets me live it down. Every Christmas, he brings it up.
Wow, that would be a good Christmas story.
You're great. Well, I'm so happy. Everyone's so great.
Yeah, yeah. These are heartfelt stories. Mm. I think they're all true.
The jizz sucks pretty rough.
It just
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number.
Believable though.
Yeah. Dr. Bruce is here filling in for Dr. Drew. We've had an excellent open forum. Thank you to everybody who called. Now it's time to take your calls regarding whatever you want, whatever may be bothering you. This is Loveline.
Ask about Loveline, the craziest question.
What's the craziest question you've ever gotten on Loveline?
Back with more Loveline in a bit.
Hi, I'm Shawnee O'Neill, inviting you to check out my new podcast with my friend Stella. It's the Mogul Moms Playbook. This is for all the superwomen out there juggling kids, career, parenting, and relationships. We know it's not easy, so we got your back. So join us and our celebrity friends for a little moral support, helpful tips, encouragement, advice, and a bunch of laughs. Download new episodes of Shawnee and Stella every Tuesday at iTunes and PodcastOne.com.
Yeah, buddy, it's Loveline. Dr. Bruce is here filling in for Dr. Drew. Oh, yeah. Hello, David.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good. Great.
So my question is, I've been getting into confrontations with my soon-to-be brother-in-law about the way he treats his mother and his niece, who is my soon-to-be stepdaughter.
Okay.
And I guess my question is, I've already talked to my fiance about it, about how I feel, and trying to get her to talk to him about it, but she doesn't want to start any conflict with him. And my question is, should I escalate things by confronting him or just let her deal with it when she gets to it?
Well, how does he deal with your soon-to-be stepdaughter? What kind of behavior are you describing?
Well, he's been the father figure in her life. Her dad has been out of the picture for her first, like, 10 years. So he's been there, and he's been the father figure. So he's the one that's telling her or taking care of her, and he's been filling that role. So now that I'm there, it's kind of like she's shying away from him, and I'm filling that role. And he doesn't really like that. He hasn't adjusted to it.
Right.
And so he gives her a hard time whenever she's over there at my fiance's mother's house.
Well, okay. Gosh, this is such a dense situation. It's really hard for Bruce or I to appropriately step in. But I will say this. If he is her – if he's become her father by all accounts, then doesn't he have a right to step in and be a little bit harsh with her?
Oh, yeah. No. I completely understand him being in there and taking some role and still handling certain issues. But the way that he gets on her, it's not the way that a father figure would do that. It's like he's taking out anger towards her because of the fact that she's coming to me with certain issues or treating me or placing me in that father role now.
Right. But It's your future wife, I think, has a key role in either confronting that as inappropriate or explaining to him things change when I'm married. And that sounds like something she's not willing or able to do, or is she afraid of him?
Well, she's not a very, she doesn't like conflict.
Okay. So it sounds like it's not something where if you get into a conflictual situation with him, that probably won't long-term be a good thing in terms of how you guys get along. But many times when you're in a situation where you're getting married to someone, they have it's going to be your stepdaughter, and it's this complex, you're seeing a family therapist for months before you get married, and it would be to your benefit to have someone else help to transition into, the dynamics in the family are changing. And I mean, you're going to be in the stepdaughter's life, and he is also. I mean, it's appropriate for him to be involved, it would seem like, because he's been there for a long time. But it's probably something that you would do very well by going to a family therapist. And many times before you get married and there's a step kid involved, whoever's doing the ceremony or there's someone that's saying, hey, you really need to be in therapy for a few months before you get married. So I'd say this is a great time. Family therapist, LCSW.
There you go, brother. Let's talk to Maria. Hello, Maria.
Hello.
What up, baby?
Hey, so I have a question of how to approach a guy that I like, but I'm too scared to tell him.
How do you know him?
So we go to the same school. Just recently, we're in the same organization at school.
Mm-hmm.
Work Nambla. Together. Yeah, but
how old are you? How old is?
I'm 20.
Oh,
and he's your age?
Yeah, he's 21.
Okay. Why hasn't he approached you?
Well, I feel like it's me who likes him, but I don't know how he feels about me.
I'm not saying he should or that it means that he doesn't like you. I was just curious. Like, is there a reason? Like, does he have a girlfriend?
I feel like he doesn't have a girlfriend, but he is a flirt with a lot of girls. I am not one of those, though, so I don't know how he feels towards me.
Well, you're in the same organization. Why don't you just say, hey, why don't we grab a cup of coffee and talk about such and such and just see where it goes?
Good call.
That's not that
something
forward.
Unthreatening, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where I feel like it's hard to approach him, though. Like, I feel like he's not the let's go for a coffee kind of guy. He's very quiet when he's there at the meeting, but when he's out, I see him. He's the party kind of person, but it's only in those situations.
Okay, when you've gotten in relationships, did you pick guys that were a little bit emotionally unavailable? Because it sounds like you're picking somebody that not is the first person you'd think Are there guys that are more interested in you that you're not interested in, or have you been dating a lot? What's your usual pattern?
Previous guys that I've dated, it's more like I'm interested in them, and then after a while, then I could see that they're interested in me. So then it's a mutual interest.
Uh-huh.
And that's how it's gone. I mean, the last relationship I had was about like 4 years ago, 4 months ago. We broke up. It wasn't good for either of us. I feel like the emotions that I had towards him weren't the same after a while.
Okay, so you don't go around chasing people that don't like you. Okay, I mean, there's no huge risk. It doesn't matter if he says to you, "No, I don't want to go." It's like Mike said, it's a non-threatening situation. Just say, "Hey, let's go out and grab a cup of coffee and talk about whatever," and just see where it goes from there. He'll either say no, or he'll go, and you will hit it off, or he won't be interested, and you move on. But at least you'll know.
All right, sounds good.
Call back and let us know.
Very good advice from Dr. Bruce. Let's talk to Manuel. I like your labor.
Oh, like my labor?
Never mind.
Okay. Thanks for taking my call, guys. I usually get off around 11, so I hear you guys almost every night.
Thanks, buddy.
And, I've been struggling with this for like the last couple of months. What it is I fell for this girl pretty hard, and I took her out for a whole year. We went out everywhere, and I thought of everything I could take her out to, and I thought she liked me too. And I even waited for her performance while she went out to San Francisco for school, and she came back, and we were actually going on, and we were celebrating our year anniversary by going to Disneyland. And the weekend before, she kind of told me she couldn't go out with me anymore, that it wasn't a question of whether she liked me or not. I just didn't have the resources to build a future with, and that she was at a point in her life where she needed to pick someone with resources to do that.
Okay. Kind of harsh, but, you know, at least she was open with you.
Did she use the word resources?
Yeah, she did say resources, and that, like, it still looked like I was getting my stuff together, and I felt like I have my kind of together. I mean, I'm going to school, I'm going to work, and I'm almost done with the nursing program that I'm in.
How old are you?
And, I'm 20, she's 21, and she kind of...
Oh, screw her!
What?
F her! I thought you were going to say, oh, I'm 35. I mean, but... Dude, yeah, you definitely are. You're fine. Don't worry about it. She's
doing you a favor.
She's flipping out.
Yeah. At this point, unfortunately, it sounds like, first of all, it wouldn't be good for you in the long run, and you're going to do a lot better with somebody that appreciates you. I mean, you sound like you do have your best together.
Thanks. Like, she kept telling me, like, throughout the year that, like, I feel bad because I don't feel like I'm loving you as much as you're loving me, and you're giving me all this. And I'm like, no, don't worry about it. I don't mind. And I think it got to her because I know she's not heartless and she put a lot of thought into it. And, I think it's been about 2 months since I've talked to her. I'm still kind of hurt and I don't know what to do.
Okay.
You're fine.
Yeah. What worries me is it's 2 months and you're still, you know, sort of focused in on the loss of that. That's, you need to move on. If your stuff is together, you're going to have to, you know, sort of man up, be mature and let that go. But to be hooked into her and to pursue her is not what you need to do.
Yeah, man. She has no business saying that stuff to you. All right, my friends, one more break with our good boy, Dr. Bruce, filling in for Dr. Drew. This is Loveline.
This is Loveline.
Loveline.
It makes sex even better.
Oh, whoops. Dr. Bruce is here filling in for Dr. Drew. Let's see here. God, so many good calls. Mm. My son's mom can't sit still. My wife won't sleep with me. All right, let's talk to this poor bastard.
We can help him.
Hello, T. Hello, T.
What's up?
T. T.
I have narcolepsy. That's why I don't sleep. I'm falling asleep all the time.
Let's talk to Giancarlo.
Yeah.
Hello, Giancarlo.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Good.
It's our pleasure, sir.
What's up? Hey, so I guess my question is, I live with both of my parents and my
don't
dad's brother. My dad's brother, he's about 40 years old now. And ever since, I want to say he's 13, he's been addicted to crack and crystal meth. Mm. I'm sorry. And, you know, I've always wanted to help him out. I always see he suffers with schizophrenia. Oh.
Damn.
And
why is he not in, like, full-time care?
Because he's always saying how he doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. How it's to the point where he thinks people are after him all day, every day, even when he's not on the drugs.
Yeah, well, right. No, that could be could be the long-term effects of the drug use, though.
Or he's schizophrenic. The family has never had him in treatment or had an intervention.
We've tried, bro. But at the end of the day, he's always like, you know what? If he'd rather go homeless, you know. And it hurts me to see my uncle on the street. You know what I mean?
Right. Has he been arrested at any point? I mean, sometimes jail is where people
He's been arrested so many times. He gets let out. You know, he roams the streets, so that's why I feel safe when he's at my house.
Right.
But he'll be living with us for a month, maybe 2 months. He'll go back to doing drugs, come back. My dad will be so pissed, and then just kick him out. And then he's out in the streets again, doing his thing. Comes back maybe 2-3 months later, and it's just an ongoing story. And you know, I've always wanted to help him out because you know he has a great heart, man. You know, he has a really, really good heart. He wouldn't hurt a fly, dude.
Right, but, right. But
he suffers.
He's sick, that's all. He's a sick person.
So when he gets into the system, has he been placed on antipsychotic medication or?
He won't take it. I feel like someone has to literally tie him and force him to take medication because he will not. He refuses to take medication.
Right. And, you know, again, there's mental health advocacy and their patients' rights, and these representatives for patients like this are mostly very helpful. But unfortunately, there's this gray area where people would clearly benefit from medication or forced incarceration in a mental health facility, but their rights are so strong that even when it's not in their best interest, they are allowed to make these choices. So I don't have an answer. I've seen this in an emergency medicine setting or in a mental health setting, wherever I've worked. I've seen situations where what's not in the best interest of the patient and not what the family members would choose is not done because individuals have the right to decide the minute they are at the place where they know the difference between right and wrong, or they're not. You can't put them on a hold. They can choose. So if you could, when he gets into the system, if social service could help you set him up with some sort of residential treatment, or if he agrees to go somewhere where he stays for several months, because that's the thing.
He's been to he's been to a couple houses, like Christian homes and things like that. And he does good. He does good for like a couple months, but then he gets out, he goes, finds a little job, gets a couple $100.
Right.
You know, and he's back to doing his same thing. And, you know, it gets me sad, you know, and I know it hurts my family, but I've always wanted to help him out. And I feel like it's to the point where there's no helping him anymore, you know, and it really gets me down to see him when he's really messed up, you know?
Right. And the important thing is that you don't get to the point where you're getting depressed or you're spending tons of time focused on helping him when you can't. I mean, for you to go to Al-Anon or some other support group for people in relationships with individuals, and that goes for if somebody's in a relationship with somebody with a mental health problem and they refuse to get help, it can become just sort of devour you and all-encompassing in terms of you try to rescue them and save them. And at the point where it starts being detrimental to you, then sometimes you need support and help in dealing with that. Because you can imagine it's your
it's
uncle.
Overwhelming.
It is overwhelming. So it sounds like you're at the point, go to Al-Anon or talk to somebody who helps people deal with these.
What was that, Al-Anon?
Al-Anon for families of individuals with substance problems. Narnon, Al-Anon. But just Google 12-step or Al-Anon, and their meetings all over the place. That's where I'd start.
And that's all you really can do now, man, is take care of yourself and take care of your family, because your uncle needs to learn to take care of his own problem. And there's a very good chance he may just die from the disease. It's a fatal disease, okay?
I really think that one day, you know, it's just going to be like, hey, we found your uncle in the streets. You know what
I mean? I hate to tell you this, but that's the reality. I mean, that's the reality of the disease. It is a fatal disease, and you nor even the most skilled doctor on the planet can force him to take his medicine for this disease. He has to want to take it on his own, and it sounds like he doesn't want to, Giancarlo. And
he does not at all.
Yeah, he's a very ill man, you know, so I my heart goes out to you, and please do listen to Dr. Bruce and seek out Al-Anon. I got to talk to this guy. I got to know what's going on. Hello, Chris.
Hello. How are you guys doing today?
We're good. Fantastic, sir.
Well, first of all, I want to say you guys are heroes without capes, and I appreciate what you do.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
No problem. My question, my son's mother, she rocks back and forth. Like, you know, like normally she would sit in a rocking chair, you know, and then that's appropriate, you know, rocking back and forth. But
yeah.
Let's say she's like sitting on a step or sitting on the couch. She rocks back and forth like you would imagine in a movie, a crazy person who would like be rocking and ripping their hair out, except she's not ripping her hair out.
Bruce?
Is she, this is your wife?
No, this is my my son's mother. And I was just wondering, you know, what could this be a symptom of? You know, I kind of want to dig a little bit deeper into it.
Well, it could be substance use. Using stimulants sometimes causes that kind of repetitive movement, or certain mental health disorders, certain psychiatric.
I'm pretty certain she's not on any drugs or alcohol or anything like that. I think maybe I know she's had some trauma, like sexual trauma in her life when she was younger, and I don't think she was ever treated. I don't know if that could be.
Sure, anxiety, certain forms of depression. So it's usually that or a side effect of a medication.
Yeah, it's not. I know it's not medication or drugs. I mean, I'm not 100%, but I mean, I'm. You know, I would say I'm 99.9.
Right. So this is not somebody you're in a relationship with at this point.
Well, I'm not in a motion, like personal relationship with her, but I mean, she's my son's mother, you know, so we have to have, you know, I have a relationship with her, just not an intimate.
Right. So there's so many more questions, but post-traumatic stress disorder, certain forms.
Well that's another thing too. She had my son who's two now. And then she also, right, like, she has a daughter now who's, like, 8 months, you know, and I tried to tell her, you know, you need to do something. You know, like, that's not normal. You know, I've heard you guys talk about it before. Your body and your mind aren't meant to have kids like that.
Right. Okay. So
certainly not with separate people.
Well, yeah, that's a whole other story. I mean, there's four kids and four guys.
That's not a whole other story. I mean, it speaks to her kind of makeup.
Right. You have the right. I mean, I don't know what your divorce settlement was, but these are your kids. You have the right to.
They were never married.
No, but right. I mean, right. Is there. Okay, I see. No divorce settlement. But there are mechanisms by which you can get maybe some mandated therapy or evaluation. I mean, if you have concerns about her fitness to be a mom, or there's some sort of complication from prior sexual abuse or something like that. I mean, I hate to say call Child Protective Services, but CPS, you know, talk to somebody in social services and express your concern. Because if there's a possibility of some underlying profound mental health disorder or substance abuse, you really don't know until you have her evaluated.
Dr. Bruce, thank you.
Great to be here.
Honestly, you were awesome tonight, as always.
Oh, thank you.
I'll see you tomorrow night.
Yes, you
will. All right. In this crazy mixed up world that makes you think that nobody cares, remember, people, we do. Be good.
This has been Loveline.
The opinions expressed on Loveline are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station.
Loveline is produced by Ann Ingold.
Engineered by Anderson Cowan.
Loveline.
Game over, man.
The ending just felt flat.
I do believe that is the end.
Stanley, Stanley, Stanley.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.